Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Okay, here's the deal.
7 o'clock.
Yeah!
It's time for 92.9 The Game Tonight.
For the next hour, tune in or listen on the Odyssey app.
As we get you caught up with all things Atlanta sports and beyond.
We're going up tonight.
Yeah, like I say, just turn up and listen.
That's the way to lead the show.
It's 92.9 The Game Tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome in, 92.9 The Game Tonight. Abe Gordon here for the next 3 hours. Let's all just take a breath, because I don't know what's about to happen. I'll be honest. I wrote some notes, a couple things I want to say, a couple people I want to yell at, a couple people I want to support, and I really don't know what exactly is about to take place. It might be a blackout situation where Oren just hits like music to go to break. I'm like, what? Well, what just happened? Was that 9 minutes? Was that 12 minutes? Were it time to break already? I'll say this before we get into it, because there's a couple things I do want to get into before we really dive into it in regards to my thoughts on the Atlanta Falcons draft. And again, I was with Andy and Randy Friday. I did the Atlanta United game Saturday night. But for the large part, I have not given my reactions to the Atlanta Falcons draft, either from the Michael Penix perspective at 8, but certainly the rest of the way, what happened in rounds 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. No 7th round pick. And so we're going to do that tonight. And, yeah, I'm upset. I'm mad. I believe we were told lies. And maybe they didn't tell it to us in that manner. But we were led to believe one thing, and another thing happened. All right, I got to calm down. We're going to get to that. We're going to get to that, I promise. I got a page of notes about things I want to yell.
Woosah, sir.
No, they ain't no woosah today. Unless that's a defensive tackle from Washington that can get to the quarterback. It's not? Okay. All right. Let's start here real quick. Atlanta Braves, great job over the weekend, taking 2 of 3, winning the series from the Guardians. Could have won all three. I'm sure the Guardians probably feel that way in a manner. Obviously, 2 games go to extra innings. That's the best team in the American League, guys. And I got a tweet. I had to look it up. I had a tweet from someone that said that was another series. Felt like the playoffs. And the Braves did their thing. And they didn't even have to see Max Fried. And so, A-plus job from the Atlanta Braves at home. We got Seattle tonight. But coming up on Friday, you're in the L.A. area, taking on the Dodgers. And so another series with some serious implications. And it's going to feel tough and ready. And I think the Braves will be ready to go in that one as well. Kyle Pitts, 5th-year option picked up. I think that was obvious, right? It's not that much money for a tight end. I think it's 10.4 and then 10.8, whatever the numbers are. It's not a big deal. And quite frankly, and this is why what happened on draft night was so frustrating. What have you done by picking up Kyle Pitts' option? You have aligned Kyle Pitts' timeline with Kirk Cousins' timeline. Why? to maximize potential of this team, something you did not do on draft night. All right. It's 7:04 right now, almost 7:05. I'm going to be taking your calls all night long on the NFL draft. 404-726-0929. I'm going to give you space to share your thoughts. I may agree with you. I may not agree with you. I'm going to let it breathe. I'm going to give you an opportunity to say your thing, and then I will respond after that. And we're going to take your calls all night long. But let me get into my vent, my rant, my yelling first. 404-726-0929. I'm going to tell you right now, I do not like one little bit, with the exception of like one or two things, what the Falcons did in their draft. Let me just start here. Let me just tell you what I did like about the Atlanta Falcons draft. Jace McClellan, all right? Round 6. This is the right player at the right time, fills a need, good value. We already saw Cordarrelle Patterson, RB3, on this team. Off to Pittsburgh, you needed a new one. I think Jace McClellan is an outstanding RB3 with potential, if necessary, if pushed into it, to be more than that. So I do like that pick. I thought you got pretty good value in the first pass rusher you took. Braylon Trice. And I say first pass rusher because I'm not exactly sure what Rook Arororo is. We're going to find that out tomorrow, by the way. Because tomorrow night, I'm going to be joined by the Clemson defensive tackle coach. And we're going to talk a little bit more about Rook Arororo and find out in some of the big questions. Can he move in outside, right? That's one of the bigger questions. So we'll talk about that more tomorrow. But Braylon Trice, I think in round 3, 74th overall, that's a solid pick. This is a guy, if you watched enough Washington games, was always on screen. And so I do like Trice, and I do like McClellan. I have a real tough time defending most of the other picks. And so here we go. I've got 7 to 9 minutes or so before I have to hit a break. Let's see if I can get a full rant out, and then I'll give you guys the opportunity to respond and share your thoughts on the NFL draft as it relates to the Atlanta Falcons. Not really concerned with what other teams did, comparison and contrast, all that. We have time for that. Today, it's all about the Falcons. Now, let me start here. And again, welcome into the show. It's 92.9 The Game tonight. Abe Gordon here. And we're going scorched earth right now. Hit me up on Twitter. I've already got a bunch. At Abe Gordon. I understand the reasoning of the team selecting Michael Penix at 8 overall. I do. I understand it. You can defend it. I get it. And I'm not even, look, here's the other thing, by the way, before we even dive into this. If you feel differently from me, if you feel the same from me, that doesn't make you right or wrong. What I'm about to say doesn't make me right or wrong. It's just how I feel, okay? I'm not going to trash or attack anyone for having a different mindset about the Atlanta Falcons draft than I do, okay? Everything I'm about to express is my opinion, how I feel about what happened on Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday afternoon, all right? I'm not right. I'm not wrong. You're not right. You're not wrong. I'm hoping Terry Fontenot's right. I'm hoping he's not wrong. He's the one that ultimately, along with Raheem and the rest, they're the ones that are ultimately right or wrong. You and I just have opinions, and that's okay if you don't have the same one as me, okay? So I understand the reasoning that you took Michael Penix 8 overall, but here's the thing. I don't care. I don't care about the reasoning. I don't care about he's your quarterback for 10 years. None of that. None of it. I don't care about any of that. It does not help you win now. And that was the point. That was the plan. That was the reason you brought on Kirk Cousins, to win a Super Bowl now. The idea of sustained playoff success is the ultimate loser mentality. The idea of going to the playoffs, winning the NFC South over the course of 7 years, 8 years, is a loser mentality. We're not here to win the division. We're here to win the darn Super Bowl. And here's the other thing for you know, Carl mentioned it right at the very end. The idea of get in and see what happens, that don't happen in football, guys. Football is the least flukiest of all the postseasons. Doesn't happen like that. Being hot at the right time in football, there's no such thing. The best teams get to the conference title games. The best teams get to the Super Bowl. Win the division? We were already going to do that. I didn't need Michael Penix to secure that. No, I'm looking to win a Super Bowl here, guys. And I'm struggling to find out what the point of, and I have no issues with Michael Penix, by the way. I don't. I am with you guys in terms of I think he can be a very successful quarterback for a long time. If that's the case, don't bring in Kirk Cousins. Build a defense with $100 million over 2 years. Kirk Cousins caught off guard, apparently angry. I don't know. Like that doesn't bother me as much. He's still going to play to the best of his ability. I'm less concerned with his feelings. I'm more concerned with his Achilles. Now, the one thing this keeps getting compared to is the Packers drafting Jordan Love when they had Aaron Rodgers. And I guess Packers fans are happy that happened. Why? Wasn't the whole point about Aaron Rodgers' frustration, the same frustration maybe that Kirk Cousins is feeling, is that you didn't do something to help win a Super Bowl. Guess what? The Packers still haven't won a Super Bowl. I know it's revisionist history, but what if they had taken T. Higgins, as some suggested? What if they had done something to win now, coming off 13-3? The fact that they still won their division means nothing to me. Nothing. The fact that Jordan Love had a pretty good year this year means nothing to me. They didn't win the Super Bowl when the window was open, and I don't think their window's open right now. And that's what's happening here. As far as I'm concerned, the era we thought we were in as Falcons fans is not true. We are not in an era of Super Bowl contention. I thought we could be. I thought with Kirk Cousins here, I thought with the offense we had, I thought with drafting the guys you needed to draft to have an impact over the next 2 years, we could be. We didn't do that. We're no longer in the era of contention. The era that the Atlanta Falcons have just entered is sustained playoff berths. And that's cool. That's great. You're happy winning the NFC South and that's all? Fine. You would love this draft. You would think it's a great job. Here's the problem. There is no win now and win later. Sustained success gets in the way of maximizing what you can do now. And like I just said, the premise of get in and see what happens, wrong sport. Catch a hot goalie in hockey, fine. Maybe you make a run. Rotation gets hot. Baseball, you can make a run. Doesn't happen in football. And then my final part here, and I do have others, but we eventually have to take a break and get some calls. My final part here, and this is the one that hurts me the most. This is the one that's the toughest to get out on radio. For the first time, I think I've lost faith and I've lost trust in Terry Fontenot. This is the first decision that he's made that I cannot defend. And I'm having a tough time believing that there is a plan to handle the issues that still remain on this team. And look, I like Terry Fontenot quite a bit. And I wrote off a lot of issues with the team over the past 2 years by blaming Arthur Smith and not him. And I'm not saying he, like I said, this is not about who's wrong and who's right. This is my feelings. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm not. I've told y'all before multiple times. I've been wrong before. I'll be wrong again. I didn't think there was a way on earth they were drafting Michael Penix. Guess what? I was wrong. And that's okay. It wasn't because I didn't like Penix the player. It's because I felt the team had other needs they needed to address to maximize their potential. And like I just said, they did not maximize their potential. They lengthened it. You're in the era right now of winning the NFC South, and that's fine. If that's all you want to be, if you're happy with that, good for you. I'm not. I thought we could be more than that, and I don't feel that way anymore. Now, again, if Fontenot is correct, and Ruka Roro can have an impact, and Braylon Trice can have an impact, and I wish I had a name to tell you in the secondary they could have an impact, but I don't. But maybe there's a plan. Maybe there's a plan. But I'll be honest. Until proven otherwise, I am questioning Terry Fontenot. And look, he doesn't care. I know he doesn't care what I say. And I'm just a fan of the team that's frustrated. But I don't know why I should have faith in him at this stage. Now, look, he can gain that back immediately by getting a free agent signing in here. I don't deny that. Hey, you find a way to bring Steph Gilmore in here, and guess what? I'm right back with you. But until further notice, I'm going to question the moves a lot more than I had been. I defended Terry Fontenot a heck of a lot. A lot. And now I'm stuck questioning it because this is not what we're supposed to be doing. The goal is not to win the NFC South. The goal is to win a Super Bowl. And I don't think you put yourself currently, again, still some time left before the season, I don't think you put yourself in position to do that. 404-726-0929. It's Abe Gordon, 92.9 The Game tonight. Your calls next. We are live from the Kia Studios here on a Monday evening on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Game tonight. Abe Gordon here live in the Kia Studios. Your phone call's coming in just a moment. I know, obviously, I'm hot about the NFL draft still. We'll see if you guys are with me, against me, and it's fine. Either way, I do want to say this. Like, there was obvious frustration about Michael Penix on Thursday night, and I thought there was going to be an opportunity for that to die down a little bit. The rest of the draft didn't really help solve those issues. Like, there would have been some talking points if you still addressed a little bit more of your needs, and that didn't quite happen. I think Friday and Saturday didn't help the idea of Michael Penix. And here's the thing. You don't have to be mad about Michael Penix. I actually like Michael Penix quite a bit. I'm frustrated that I don't feel we've taken the opportunity to maximize our chances of winning right now. And yes, have you theoretically lengthened your window? Maybe. I mean, maybe. Like, I love the idea that everyone's just throwing Michael Penix as like, well, he's going to come in year three and just be the star. I mean, sure, 10 years of sustained success. I mean, I guess, maybe. I mean, if it works out, like, that's obviously not a done deal. Yeah, I certainly can agree that. And I do believe this. I do believe Terry Fontenot thought that Michael Penix was the best quarterback that was going to be available after Caleb Williams. I think he felt that. And that's why he made the decision. Because you cannot pass up a guy you believe in that much. And that's fine. All I'm suggesting at this point is even that's a risk. I do want to say this, by the way. For all of the people who are going to talk about, well, Kirk Cousins, if he goes down, you're set. That's not how you draft, guys. That's every team in the NFL. Well,
you don't want to lose our quarterback. That's a worst-case scenario, right, that you lose your starting quarterback.
Well, it's just not how teams draft. Like, you don't see teams be like, well, I know we got Jake Browning, but if Joe Burrow goes down, we want someone better. And so we're going to draft this guy. And, I mean, the Panthers didn't have their first-round pick. But the Texans, they didn't draft. I mean, you could go down the list of teams. The Arizona Cardinals didn't take a backup quarterback at four in case Kyler Murray gets hurt, a guy that's been hurt in his career. Like, that's just not how teams draft. Or else every team would take a backup to their most important player every year, right? Well, if Jamar Chase goes down like he did this past year, we want to have another receiver that can step right in there. So we're going to take receiver. No. That's the wrong mindset. I'm not saying that's not going to happen, by the way. It absolutely could. And if that does happen, yeah, we're going to be happy that we have Michael Penix. I don't think you can use that as a defense for the mindset of the draft. Did we approach fill some needs along the defensive line? Yeah, sure. If they work out, great. My issue with that is you probably overcorrected there. Took too many, and didn't fill other needs. I mean, I said this from the very start. Like, if you take – this goes back to me assuming they were going to take a pass rusher at eight. I wouldn't even be mad if they doubled up. Pass rusher at eight, pass rusher in the second round. Like, I'm okay with that. Because not everyone you're going to hit draft is going to hit. But one of them – look, you better hope one of these guys hits. Or if it's not them, Zach Harrison, someone. But I'm frustrated – because I think we're in a different era than I thought we were going to be in. I don't know if we're in the era. In fact, I don't believe we're in the era of playoff contention. Excuse me, Super Bowl contention. I think we're in the era of sustained playoff bursts. And that's okay. That's great. But like I said, like I'm not here to just win the NFC South. We would have done that without a draft. I was hoping to get better to the point that I can believe this team could do what the Lions did a year ago and then grow from there. And I just don't believe that anymore. I think we set ourselves up to win the NFC South a lot over the next decade plus. Great. Are we going to make any real runs at the Super Bowl? That's the question. I think that's what we gave up. And so you hope like heck that Braylon Trice, Rukarororo, Dorlus, you hope like heck that some of these guys make a difference. I just don't know if I believe that. Your call's coming up right now, 404-726-0929. It is 92.9 The Game tonight. Abe Gordon here live from the Kia Studios. We start with either a person or a location. Bankhead on line one. What's going on?
Yes, sir, man.
How you doing, man? Kirk, what you thinking?
Kirk Cousins, if we're going to talk man-to-man, Kirk Cousins ought to be lucky. Lucky. We picked him. He's hurt. Nobody wasn't going to pay that kind of money.
But okay, so but here's my point. If that's the premise, if Kirk Cousins is hurt and no one else would have paid that money, that's a huge mistake by the Falcons front office.
No, no. We got Pettis for insurance. Okay?
Because
we got him for insurance.
Because Kirk Cousins is hurt. Is that what you're saying?
No. Every team has done what we are doing right now. Every team throughout history is doing what we're doing right now. Don't be no hater, dog.
Which is what? Draft a quarterback when they have needs elsewhere? That's the premise?
No. It's always a need elsewhere. It's always a need elsewhere. Every position is always a need for a backup. Even for a coach. Even for a coach.
What?
For you. If you don't show up tomorrow, it's somebody there to pick up where you left off.
What's your premise here on the draft?
We did a great move, period.
Okay, thank you for the call, Bankhead. Appreciate it. Look, he's happy with the draft, and that's fine. I don't think – and if look, I have no issue defending Michael Penix. I told you I like Michael Penix. I totally understand why they did it. I just don't agree with it. That's just my opinion, and he has his. I'm just trying to figure out where he stood because he wasn't – I didn't really know where he was going with it. But I will say this. I don't agree with the idea that you drafted Penix for insurance. You drafted Penix because you believe he can extend your window. And that's I'm totally fine with that. I think it limits your potential now. I don't think it allows you to maximize what this team could have been. But you're not drafting Michael Penix because you think Kirk Cousins is going to go down this year. That's not a reason to draft him. I have no problems with you defending the drafting of Michael Penix. Don't defend it by saying you're worried that Kirk Cousins could go down. That's not why you draft a guy. That's the wrong mindset. And I don't think that, to be honest, I don't think that's the mindset Terry Fontenot had. I don't think he took Michael Penix because you had to have insurance. I think he took Michael Penix because he really liked the opportunity that you could believe in him over the course of 8 to 10 years down the road, not because you're worried about this year. All right, line number two. Let's check in with Donald. What's going on, Donald?
Hey, how are you doing this evening, Abe?
Doing good, man. How are you?
I'm okay. My point is I'm not spectacularly happy with the pick because there are needs to address. But, again, we can't place all emphasis on getting everything we need from the draft. If it wasn't a good draft, remember, Fontenot did do a pretty good job in free agency, and I think you kind of touched on that
he
earlier.
He absolutely nailed it last year, quite a bit less so this year.
Well, I mean, is the free agency period over?
You have no money, and so you're going to have to find a way to get money. And look, like I said, if Terry Fontenot brings in Stephon Gilmore or any, and there are some good cornerbacks still available on the market, then a right. lot of this changes. But you've got to find money to do that. I don't know if that's restructuring contracts, maybe trading. I don't know how you do that. If that takes place, we're back on side Team Terry. But until then, I have questions.
I mean, I kind of like to see getting veteran free agents, if we can afford them, because they're more ready to play than trying to develop rookies. Let's face it, even the best rookies, we're going to come in and go through the bumps and growing pains that first year. I'm just taking a wait-and-see attitude. If we can't address anything in free agency and the season starts and we still have a porous D, then I'm going to be like it was an F.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the right approach, Donald, and thank you for the call. The season's going to play itself out, and either I'm right or either I'm wrong. And I don't have a problem either way. I'm dealing with what we have on the surface right now. I'll tell you what my concern is. Because like I said, you were going to win. In my opinion, you're the best team in the NFC South. You were already the best team in the NFC South. You were going to win the NFC South with Kirk Cousins this year. What I don't want the feeling of, what I'm concerned about, is that we get to the playoffs and we're in a close game with San Francisco. And I thought, man, if we had a more trustworthy corner, we could win this game. Or man, if we had a little bit of more pass rush, Brock Purdy wouldn't have been able to hold out and make this toss. I don't want to feel like I was so close that I missed that one piece. That's my concern. I don't think you've maximized your ability to win right now. And look, if you're okay with lengthening that window, because I've gotten plenty of tweets on the other side, right? I've gotten a lot of tweets that have said, yeah, but now it's not just the 2 years with Kirk Cousins. It goes beyond that. I'll be honest. I was prepared to have some real tough years after Kirk Cousins. I was prepared to deal with that if we made a run at things. But now we're not making a run at things. And so that's all we're left with is feeling like we can win the NFC South for a decade straight. That's cool. But I'm here to win a Super Bowl. Winning the division is going to get old quick, guys. It is. No one's applauding the Braves for winning the NL East last year. No, we talk about the letdown in October, how it happened, why it happened, and what can we do differently. It's going to be the same thing. You start rolling out NFC South after NFC South after NFC South, which I think they can do. The question is always going to remain, well, why can't they get any closer to being a real contender? Chris is on line three. Final call of this segment. We'll be taking a bunch more as we continue through the night. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, what's going on, Abe?
How you doing, man? What's your thoughts?
Man, I got a lot of thoughts. But first thing, I think we need to pump the brakes a little bit. We haven't been to the playoffs in 7 seasons. I don't really think Kirk Cousins takes us immediately to we're going to win a Super Bowl, considering he's, what, 1-for-12 in playoff games?
I understand that, but that's why you brought him in.
Correct. I agree. However,
you could have brought in Gardner Minshew if winning the NFC South was your ultimate goal.
But I feel like what you're saying with the Penix pick is that we were the difference between Dallas Turner and Braylon Trice away from a Super Bowl. And I don't really think difference.
It's that you're not even trying, in my opinion. That's the issue. Look, there's no one knows how good these players will or won't become. Even right. I have to admit that. I totally get that. But we didn't even try. That's my problem.
I just feel like if we took Turner at 8, I feel like that would have been an overreach. But he went 17th overall, and I don't feel like that. Like I get what Terry was doing with Penix pick.
I understand it. I understand it. I do. I just don't like it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was surprising. That's for sure.
Here's the thing, Chris. And I appreciate the call. Unfortunately, I can't continue the conversation because I got to hit a break. Here's the thing, guys. And this is like the crux of it, the moral of the story for me. I thought we were in a win now mode, and I don't think we made win now decisions. If you didn't think we were in win now, that's fine. Then absolutely defend Michael Penix. I thought we were in win now, and I don't feel that way anymore. I don't. And Chris is right, and a lot of you guys are going to say the same thing. Drafting Dallas Turner wasn't a lock. It doesn't mean he would have been a good player. It doesn't mean that you would have gone to the Super Bowl. Guess what? I agree there, guys. I agree. The premise for me, though, is at least you would have been trying. And I don't even know if I can say definitively we're trying to win it all right now. 92.9 The Game tonight. Abe Gordon here, continuing with your calls on the other side. Thank you guys so much for the conversation. Again, let's keep it cordial. I'm not calling anyone wrong for feeling the way they feel. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just frustrated at the approach. More than anything, I'm frustrated at the approach because I don't think we're maximizing success. It's 92.9 The Game tonight, live on a Monday evening. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game tonight. Abe Gordon here live from the Kia Studios, reacting to the NFL draft. And I said what I said in the first segment, okay? And I may touch back on some of those things throughout, but I do want to calm down. I do want to move on. And I do want to get behind this team. Because, look, the end of the day, I still think this is a team that's going to win the NFC South. I still think this is a team, that's going to the playoffs. I don't know what else to say. And I also want to say this. For those of you who are sending me tweets, messages, at Abe Gordon on Twitter, most of you have been relatively cordial, and I do appreciate that. And like I said, you don't have to agree with me. This is my opinion, how I feel based on what's transpired. This is not a right or wrong thing. You're allowed to feel absolutely whatever way you want to feel about the Falcons draft. Doesn't have to mirror how I feel. I'm frustrated. I'm upset. I'm mad. And it wasn't just Penix, by the way. It wasn't just him. I don't love the idea of trading up for Ruka Roro. Nothing against him. I just don't think you had to trade up to do it. You lost value, if not the player, on the trade itself. I don't love the idea that you took five guys in the front seven when you still need a cornerback. And look, a lot of the issues in the secondary, and by the way, I've said it for weeks now, I'm comfortable with DeMarco Helms. I don't see the need at safety as much as a lot of people, but I see the need at corner apparently more than a lot of people, because I got a ton of messages over the weekend about Clark Phillips. I like Clark Phillips a lot. I think he's an outstanding nickel. I don't think he's CB2. I don't. And I think if that's the plan, we're in some real trouble. I just want to maximize the attempts. And here's the thing. Like, Kirk Cousins, I think he was very clearly told to Kirk Cousins that they're going all in to win a title by bringing him in. And I just don't feel they did that when you draft Penix at 8. That's all. That's why I'm frustrated. I have nothing against the pick, nothing against the idea of building sustained success. My frustration is I thought we were in win-now mode, and I no longer believe that they are. I think they're back into the mode of continuing to build, hoping to get a couple of these draft picks right, hit on some mid-rounders, whatever the case may be. But they're not really going all in. Not really. Doesn't mean they can't win, guys. I told you, I like Braylon Trice quite a bit, and we've seen third-round pass rushers turn into demons. It doesn't mean you can't win. It doesn't mean you won't win. I just don't think you're maximizing your opportunity to win. And that's what I was looking for out of the NFL draft, and ultimately, I didn't get that, and that's why I'm frustrated. I don't have any questions about the abilities of the players. I really don't. I mean, we'll find out sooner enough. But I understand why Penix was the draft pick. I'm just frustrated because I don't think you're providing the team with the maximal ability to win a title. They're going to win the – guys, they're going to win the NFC South. If you did not have a 2024 NFL draft, this team was going to win the NFC South. Like, they're better than everyone, including Tampa. They just are. Nothing changed in regards to you winning the division. Nothing was taken away. I know I seem all gloom and doom. We're talking about Super Bowls here, guys. This team isn't not going to win the NFC South now because it was Penix and not a pass rusher or a cornerback. They're still winning the NFC South. I wanted more. I thought we were chasing more, and I just don't know if I feel that way. Look, we talked about it. I think the window is longer, and that's great. I don't know where the ceiling is right now, and I feel like it's lower than it needed to be. That's my frustration with the Falcons draft. 404-726-0929, continuing with your thoughts on what's been going on. We start on line four with Michael. What's going on, Michael?
Hey, I'm going to respectfully disagree with you. I think we are in a win-now mode. I don't want to be the 2025 version of the Jets, where the Rodgers came in, they were anointed Super Bowl contenders, and all of a sudden he went down. Penix, at least on the surface of it, seems to be very similar to Cousins. Cousins is clearly the number one guy. That's who I want back there. I think Fontenot looked around the league, saw 11 teams last year whose starting quarterback went down with injuries, and they had nothing behind them to put them anywhere near contention, and said, maybe convince Blank and Rasheem that, look, we need somebody that can step in just in case. If he rolls an ankle or if he gets concussed or if that Achilles unfortunately comes back, whatever. And I think further on in the draft, I think we have two defensive starters on the line. We have the guy from Washington, Kelce, I think his name is.
Yeah, Braylon Trice.
Yeah, Trice, I'm sorry. that had more hurries than anybody else in the
Yeah, I like that pick. I like that pick a lot.
And I think you don't necessarily need to set the quarterback. You need to make them uncomfortable. There were times last year,
No. I'm done with that. I'm done with that. Make the quarterback uncomfortable stuff. We've been through that. We've been through the pressures and the touches and all that crap, and it didn't work out.
But there were times back there last year, majority of the season, where the opposing quarterback sat in a rocking chair and said, "When you get open, call me and I'll throw the ball." That's how long he had back there. And I know Jarrett got injured, but I'm saying we have a win now team. Now, not for the South. Not for a playoff win, for the Super Bowl. We can take this team to the Super Bowl with what we have now. And if we get a quarterback, and if what I'm hearing you say is correctly, you would be good with this entire draft if we somehow plucked a cornerback from free agency or trade. I think I'm hearing you right there.
Yeah, well, only because it seems like there's more of a plan. Only because it seems like there's more of a plan. You can put them back up.
Yeah, but I just think that Fontenot did have a plan, and I think he is drafting him for now and for later, but definitely for now. Heinicke is not the guy. If Heinicke were the guy, they wouldn't have drafted.
Right, look, not about Heinicke. Here's the thing. There is no draft for now and for later. It's one or the other.
Yes, there is.
You're not maximizing your potential.
You're drafting Penix for insurance. And there is,
all right.
You know,
that,
we saw it
again,
last year.
I said this earlier. We're not taking calls about Penix being insurance. That's the wrong mindset. If you're drafting him for insurance because a quarterback could go down, you shouldn't have paid that quarterback. That's the bottom line, guy. If you want to defend Penix about the future, look, you cannot win now and win later. It's not that you can't win now, can't win later. You're not maximizing it. I want the most likely players to be able to get it done. You didn't do that. You can't. There is no argument for win now and win later. If you want to make the argument that you're setting your team up for sustained success, I believe you. I understand it. No denying that. But I don't want the feeling, and this is my concern, I don't want the feeling that, man, we're good, we were close, if only. If only. And again, the other premise is like there's no way that Penix fails. Like he's still a 50-50 shot. That's the other premise that bothers me. We're all just writing him off as FSC's Aaron Rodgers. And like, well, yeah, we don't care if Favre is mad. We got a 4-time MVP on the way. Like maybe he is. He's a very good quarterback. I think he's one of the best deep ball tossers in the entire NFL. That doesn't mean he's going to be the guy. Like I have no idea. All right, continuing with the phone calls, 404-726-0929. I'm just frustrated because I don't think you've gone all in. I thought that we were in a win-now mode. I thought we were in all-in mode. It doesn't feel that way. It doesn't mean you won't win. Let me say that first. I'm not sitting here and telling you cannot win a Super Bowl because you drafted Michael Penix. I just think it's less likely. It's going to take more of a stretch, if you will. George is on line 5. What's going on, George?
Hey, Abe, I'm with you. I mean, I'm frustrated with the pick, and I'm frustrated with Fontenot. That was a luxury pick for us, and we don't have that luxury. How about we win first, right? Let's get to winning. Let's get to winning some games. We've picked in the top 10 4 years in a row. We don't have that luxury of picking, oh, we're going to have a guy for the future. We were staring at the number one defensive player on the board, whether it was Turner or Latu or Verse or Arnold or Mitchell. We could have had any defensive player, and we passed on that. We should have went 1-2. We should have went edge first and corner in second.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, George. That's what I would have done. Look, here's the thing. Let's not treat this team like they're not a playoff team. Like with the addition of Kirk Cousins, I'm viewing the draft as if you have a playoff team, not as if you had a team that hadn't won in 4, 5, 6 years. No, I'm treating this team as if they were in the playoffs a year ago and are looking to improve what they can do once they get there. Because that's what this team was. Before the NFL draft, I told you, I viewed this team as a playoff team already. And so what do you do when you have a playoff team? You try to improve what they can do once they get there. And I don't know if they necessarily did that. Look, again, Brandon Dorlus could come out of nowhere and tally 12 sacks. And Braylon Trice could be right behind him with 8, right? Like, I have no idea. It's not about whether they perform, whether I'm right, whether I'm wrong. It's about, for me, whether I thought it was the right pick to give you the best chance to win a Super Bowl right now. And I don't think it was. You can call me short-sighted, right? Like, yeah, was I prepared that if you don't get it done in 3 years, it's going to be a rough go because you don't have that quarterback? Fine. Okay. I would counter with, instead of drafting a quarterback at 8 overall, you take one in round 5, you take one in round 6, you develop under Kirk Cousins. Kirk's not mad about it, and you see what you can get. But I was prepared. I was prepared for the team to not be good after Kirk Cousins is done. And if you got to, quote, tank for a year to get that quarterback, so be it. Like, I was going to deal with that if you made a run. I just want to make the run. I thought you were in position to make the run, and you're not doing it. And again, don't get it twisted. That doesn't mean you can't go to the Super Bowl. It doesn't mean you can't win. I just think it's less likely because you're asking other players to step up. What line are we on? Line 5, line 4, or line 6? Line 6, all the way down to the bottom. Danny, what's going on, Danny? How are you tonight?
Abe, I got to tell you, man, you straddling the hell out of that fence. But I'm going to make a couple points. What position gets head coaches hired, get head coaches fired the quickest? And we were in the same position about 3 or 4 years ago when Matt Ryan had $100 million left. We had the 4th overall pick, and we drafted a damn tight end. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Danny. I'll be honest. I don't think I'm straddling the fence. Like, am I leaving the door open that they can win it all? Sure, I guess. Like, you hit on picks. And ultimately, that's what we're asking Terry Fontenot, Raheem Morris, and the company to do. Hit on these picks to give you an opportunity to win. What I think I'm – because it's not about can't win because of this pick. I mean, that's not the line that I'm on. It's not that they can't win because they drafted Michael Penix. I just think it's tougher because you didn't take a guy I think could have an immediate impact. Any team can turn it around if you hit right in the middle rounds. Not that they can't win. But I still have a lot of questions, and there are a lot of holes left unanswered. Do I think they address the pass rush in this draft? I do. Not only did they double down, they quadrupled down on the pass rush. And should it be better? I would hope so. You got 4 opportunities. If you can get at least 1 alpha out of those 4, you'll be in okay shape. But you didn't address the cornerback. And again, it boils down to me whether or not you're maximizing your ability to win now. And I just have a tough time saying that you are. All right, we're going to come back here, 92.9 The Game tonight, and take more of your phone calls. Going to continue throughout the evening getting your thoughts. Again, you don't have to agree with me. I'm going to respect your opinion. I hope you respect mine. It's not right or wrong. It's not. And it won't be right or wrong for years, by the way. I'm not here to play right or wrong. I'm just expressing my feelings on the topic. And I've been frustrated since Thursday night, and I'm still frustrated. But you know what? I'm going to do this today, and then we're going to move on. We're going to work to solve issues. We're going to find holes to address. But yeah, I'm expressing frustration tonight because I want to win a Super Bowl, and I think it's tougher to do that right now. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game tonight. Abe Gordon here live from the Kia Studios, continuing the discussion, as always, on Twitter. But back to the phone lines right after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.